I'm kind of struggling about this deal here. I'd like to preach what I preached Wednesday night. I'd like to have that on Sunday morning because we got some stuff there. But this is important too, and I want to preach it when the parents are here that can hear it. Gary has to work. He misses on Wednesday a lot. And I don't want to preach this when he ain't here because this is important for them. And so, but it's important for us all. This is real important stuff. So you say that all the time. Well, this is the Word of God. It is important. It is the most important. And I say it often too. I wish somebody would have been able to say these things to me 30 years ago, 40 years ago even. And so do not take it lightly. Believe me, you better not take it lightly with the things that we have here. Now this morning we're going to talk about children again. Psalm 127, we're going to hit it a little different angle here this morning. There's some helpful stuff here for you. What we preached Wednesday night, that is really important, very important. The kingdom of God. It'll make a difference in your life if I'm able to get it across to you and get you started. See, my challenge is to get you to thinking about it instead of just brushing it off and going on back to nonsense. If it's enough to awaken your mind to start considering. Do you ever look into something and you took it lightly and you didn't realize what a big deal it was? And then when you finally woke up and realized, my goodness. I read here a while back about a deal. It was out west somewhere. And they found this huge trove of gold coins from the 1800s. It was gold $5 pieces, I believe it was. No, $20 pieces. Gold, $20 gold pieces that were buried in a can right beside a trail. It was a walk trail where they had walked and walked. And over the years, there's no telling how many people walked right past that and missed it. And then somebody found it one day. And it was worth millions of dollars. That's gold. And what we're talking about is stuff much more important. And you come to church and sit there and let your mind drift off into fooling. Your phone disturbs you and you think of other things and you miss something way more valuable than that little pot of gold. Let me tell you, better listen. All right, Psalm 127. Let's read verses 3 through 5 again here. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the good songs and the specialist song. Just bless my heart. Pray you'd bless the Word of God now to our hearts and minds and help us, Father. I pray you to quicken our minds and our senses that we would listen and pay attention. And Lord, those that don't have children, that they'd remember this when they do. These that do, I pray, Lord, they'd grab onto this and take it and carry it further in their own minds with application and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I've thought about this all week and there's different ways to look at this verse. It's the Word of God, and that's what makes it so amazing. You can turn it every which way, and it still works, and it still applies. It's still true. You can turn it upside down. You can turn it backwards. You can flip it over and look at it the other way, and it's all true, and it applies every way. That's one of the reasons that I'm fascinated with this book, because that's the way it is. You just can't find fault with it if you know it. You can look at this from the children's point of view. You can look at it from the parents' point of view. You can look at it from God's point of view. You can look at it from other people looking on's point of view. And it all fits and it all applies and it all works and it's all the same. But let's just take the basic things here as we start this. It's children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from God. They're given to enrich and bless our lives. This is what we talked about last week. They're our future happiness or our future misery. They're our responsibility to train up and make something out of. So to get the fullness of these verses of Scripture, we got to look at them from all angles and from all viewpoints here. Children are a gift from God. They are the heritage that we leave to the world. The children are here when we're gone. Now that's the normal way it works. Sometimes people outlive their children. I've known a person or two that did that. But that's not normally the way it is it? Your children are here after you're gone. Your voice still speaks through them. Your life still lives through them. People still remember you because of them. Oh, yes, they do. The children of our youth are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. I noticed it said that the children of our youth. Our youth, they're like arrows. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Parents who have a lot of children, the Bible says here, are happy people. Not miserable people. They're happy people. Don't believe the lie of the world and the lies of the devil. It says, oh, children make you miserable. The more you have, the more miserable you are. That's contrary to the Word of God. It says right here, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They're happy people. It's a happy father. It's a happy mother. It's a happy family that has a bunch of them. The more, the merrier. It's really that way. I can prove it to you. I can give you living examples that I know and that I remember from the past. Oh, yes. There's some keys. Godliness and love make it a happy deal. Make the whole thing happy. Parents are not ashamed when there's a bunch of them. Other people mock, believe me, we just had 6 kids and we got it a lot. These all your children? How many times did we hear that question? Are these all yours? What? Are you Catholic? That's the questions you get. Really? I'm serious every time. They just, and then they roll their eyes and say, oh my goodness. I'm glad it's you, not me. I don't know how you can stand it. You know? But I've never been ashamed. I've never hung my head and said, boy, I'm ashamed of myself with their remarks. Never! No. The children are not ashamed either. You insult their family. You're insulting their mom, their dad, their brothers and sisters who they love, and you're insulting them, and they don't like it either. They're not ashamed. So either one of them, they're not ashamed. That's what it says. They shall not be ashamed. None of them is going to be ashamed. The ones that are going to be ashamed is the one who are trying to make them ashamed and who make fun and make light of it and who mock and ridicule and insult and criticize it. They're the ones going to be ashamed. Oh, yes. The parents are not ashamed, neither are the children. Both parents and children will speak with the enemies in the gates. This is what got me thinking about this, because it says they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Who's talking about, children or the parents? Both of them. That's who it's talking about. You can apply it both ways, and it's true both ways. So when parents view let's just look at it like this. Let's look at it from the parents and then the children. The parents and the children. When parents view their children as gifts from God, it'll make a difference in how they're brought up. When you look at those children and realize, God gave them to me. He gave me this one and this one and this one and this one. All of them. He gave me each one of them. Each one of them is a gift from God. None of them are an accident. None of them were just something that slipped up, you know. They were given to you by God. Now, when parents look at their children that way, it's going to make a big difference in how they're raised. It's going to make a big difference in everything. Instead of treating them as a nuisance and a burden, they'll treat them as a divine charge and calling that they've been given from God. Really? Oh, So true. Instead of just leaving them to grow up on their own while they pursue their own interests and pleasures, they'll be much more diligent to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've seen people who were called to be missionaries, called to be preachers, evangelists, and called to do this, and they were totally immersed in all of that and let their children just grow up wild. And the devil got them every time. Why not makes your election and calling sure children are a gift from God? You got children. God gave them to you. God called you to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He gave you ammunition to make a difference in this world long after you're dead and gone. And even in eternity, forever and ever, He gave you the means to make a difference. Make a difference in yourself. Make a difference in them. But make a difference in other people too. They're arrows. That's ammunition. Man, to make a difference. To wound the enemy with. Yes. Arrows. To shoot at the devil with. Any misery you got in your life, he caused it. Ain't you got any fight in you? Don't you want to do anything to hurt him? And to hinder him? Yes, I do. The parents will be much more disciplined themselves as they realize that their example is going to be the greatest influence in the child's life. You need to realize that. Your influence is going to be the greatest influence on that child's life. Nothing is going to be able to overcome what you put in them with your influence. That's mighty strong. A parent who realizes God gave me this child, these children, is going to watch their step a little more. One thing about having children, it makes you grow up if you got any sense at all. Yes. When the children are made to believe that their parents view them as gifts from God, it'll affect their lives in a much more positive way. Listen to me. Make sure that you convince your children that you believe God gave them to you. When your children ask you where babies come from, tell them they come from God. They come from heaven. Don't tell them they come from mommy's belly. Come on. Amen. That's the first thing a little pure mind needs to learn, is that they come from heaven. It'll change the way they view life from the very start. They ain't just a thing that come out of somebody else's body. All that does is raise more questions in their minds. And it's not near as high and lofty a way to view life in the beginning of life. Make sure they understand that God sent you to me. It'll make a difference. When the child really is made to believe that you believe God gave them to you, they're going to have a different view of themselves. They're going to value themselves a little differently. They're going to view the future differently. When children are made to believe that, when your children, they'll receive discipline and training a lot better when they're made to believe that you consider them a gift from God to you. A responsibility that God gave you. They'll receive discipline. They'll receive training and chastisement much better. They'll have a much more affection for their parents. When they realize, when they believe, when they have the view and the concept that my mom and dad believe, they really believe God gave me to them. That I'm a gift to them from God. When they've got that concept in their mind, they're going to have a lot more affection for their parents. They'll grow up and be able to raise their own children with the same wisdom and guidance. It is a generational thing. I tell you, it's hard to get away from the way you're raised. Look around in our society, at all of the... Look at the child rearing that's being done and how it's being done. Go to Walmart, watch a little bit. Out on the streets, anywhere you go, We laugh at it, but it ain't funny. Not one bit funny. Children are taught that they're a nuisance, that they're not wanted. They're thrown around like a piece of trash, and they're treated like trash most of the time. I'm telling you, these things are what God says about children in three little verses in the Bible, and it makes it all crystal clear. They'll grow up and raise their children pretty much the way they were raised. When parents view their children as arrows God has given them to make a difference in this world and eternity, they'll be much more focused on aiming them in the right direction. Most parents don't think about it that way. They just look forward to the day when the children grow up and get out of the house and we can be on our own then. Quit messing up the house, quit eating all this food, quit costing me all this money, quit aggravating me every time I turn around. Glory for the day when they just leave. Shame. Shame. People that realize God gave them to you, and that God gave them to you for a reason, and that you can do something with them, they're arrows that you aim. You can direct them. You can aim them. You can point them in the right direction. You can put a push behind them to shoot them in the right direction. Parents who realize this and believe this are not going to be careless with the upbringing of their children. They'll be very careful about all the influences they allow on the mind and the heart and the life of these little children of theirs. They'll be very careful, much more careful. People are not careful. They just have children and they're just, when they're little bitty, they get all the attention, you know. And when they get like Dorothy's age, they get all this attention. But as soon as they start talking and being a problem, then they're just kicked aside. And nobody wants to mess with them. After they've trained them to be a nuisance, then they want to just push them aside. Children are children. And there are certain things they're going to do. They're going to be a problem sometimes. They're curious. She is at that age where she just sees everything. She's into everything. Well, that's just a child. Now, that's your first challenge. Teach them what no means. Teach them to listen and obey at your first command. Very important. No warnings. If you teach them to obey on the second or third time, that's how they're going to obey. They're never going to listen to you the first time. It might be like the story about that I've read different stories about a little girl that ran out in the street and the truck was coming and her mama said, "Get out of the street." Well, the little girl was waiting on her to say, 1, 2, 3. She got run over and killed. You train your children to obey on the first command. And if you want them to obey, you're going to have to give instant punishment. We always had that problem in our house, you know. Mama was too slow about doing it. I said, you know, when they're little and they lose, their memory changes. I mean, I've watched that one back there, and I've watched all my kids, and they're all the same about this. When they're little like that, their attention span's about that long. I mean, 2 or 3 seconds. They did this and you told them not to, and if you fool around for 2 or 3 minutes before you punish them for that, they done forgot. I don't know why you're beating on them. I mean, they need to know right now. When you reach and touch it, no. You'll train them that way. We can train a dog. We can train a horse. We can train animals, seals and dolphins and all of that. We can train them. Why can't we train children? Because we're lazy and ignorant. That's why. You can train children. But we don't. People just don't. They train them to disobey. And then wonder why they turn out so bad. Parents who realize this fact will be more focused on the direction their children are going than the concerns of their own life and problems. And see, that's that. The cares of life are the main way that Satan steals our children. We're too busy And we're so busy, focused on making a living and dealing with all of the burdens and problems of life that we have, that the children grow up without the care and attention that they got to have. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. We're so consumed with what we're doing and what's going on in our life, and we just figure they'll just grow up. I mean, children just grow up. Or kids, just leave them alone. That'll be all right. Kids will be all right. People get divorced and say the kids will be all right. Break up their home and say they'll be all right. No, they won't be all right. It destroys them. It breaks them. It breaks something in them that they never recover from. So important. People that realize their children are a gift from God. People that realize that their children are arrows that they were given to aim and shoot are going to raise them with much more care and attention. And they're going to seek for wisdom to do it instead of being know-it-alls that know everything and how to tell everybody else how to do it. A parent that understands these things is going to realize right out of the gate, I don't know what I'm doing and I need help. And they'll look for it and they'll listen and they won't reject everything anybody tells them right out of hand because they know, these are my kids, they don't know my kids. No, something we'd seen the other day, and it reminded me again. It's just how it is. People, you know, their kids are always right. Their kids never do nothing wrong. And it's just everybody always picking on their kids. And, you know, Brother Owen over there in the school, I remember that so well. He told me one day, he said, we've had pictures. We've got a dozen witnesses. We got everybody knows they did this thing. This child did this thing. And bring the parents in, they say, oh, you're lying. Everybody's lying. My kid wouldn't do that. What do you do? You got somebody that's raising a devil. That's what you got. And there's no hope because they won't listen. You got to realize your need. And parents that realize these things are going to realize they're in way over their heads. They need God and they need help. And so you ought to avail yourself of everything you can get to help you raise your children. And aim them in the right direction. When children realize and believe this truth about themselves, that they're arrows. I've got a purpose. God put me here for a reason. He put me with my parents for a reason. There's something I'm here for. God's got something target out there somewhere that I'm supposed to hit. It helps them. Instead of straining at the bits to get out from under their parents' influence, they have a desire to please and honor their parents with their life. When they realize this, start by telling them that God gave them to you, that they're a gift God gave you, and you're glad of it. And then teach them that they're an arrow. Teach them what God said. You are one of my arrows God gave me. There's a purpose. I don't know what it is, but God does. And I'm just aiming you in the right direction. They realize their parents are not dictating their life for them and making all their decisions for them, but that their parents have aimed them in the right direction so they'll hit their target, which is what an arrow is for, by the way. It ain't to just shoot an arrow into the air. Where it goes, I know not where. Or where it landed, I know not where. What a dumb thing. You wouldn't waste arrows like that, would you, Dakota? No, that costs money. It's dumb. Shoot it out there and don't know where it went. It's just an arrow. I knew a preacher one time did that with golf balls. Carried them in the back of his Cadillac, and when he'd stop, he'd just open the trunk, give one out, two or three, a handful, and just stand out by the road, and just knock them off into oblivion everywhere. And I thought, man, you dummy. Them things, how many? They cost several dollars. What thrill did you get out of that? Ain't no thrill to me. Anyway, later in life, they'll be eternally grateful, the children will, for parents that carefully aimed them and didn't just shoot them with their eyes closed. That is so true. I don't know if you're thinking or not, but you need to realize that. The life goes on, time passes, kids grow up. They finally mature and they become adults and then they become older people and then they start looking back and then they start thinking how their life was blessed with parents who cared, who considered them a gift, who raised them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and aimed them in the right direction. Oh, I've heard a lot of them give thanks with tears because of the parents who were faithful. So there's an end to it and a reward to it. When parents are truly happy about all the children God has given, it'll affect everything in a positive way. Happy is the man that had his quiver full of them. Now, if parents are really happy, y'all listening to me, if parents are happy, it'll make home a wonderful and happy place. If they're not happy, home ain't going to be a pleasant place. Y'all listening to me? Home needs to be a happy place. If God's put you together and He's given you children, oh my, why in the world aren't you happy? He's given you everything you need. More than all the riches in the world you've got. You ought to be happy. You ought to get up every morning and thank you, Lord, for my children. Thank you for this one and this one and this. Thank you. And be happy. It'll make home a wonderful and a happy place. It'll be a good and a powerful testimony to other parents who grumble about their children. It really does. Now, I've seen it. Sad and them, I've heard lots of stories about them going to the store with their kids. We had it for years. We had all them kids with us, and we'd go through the store, and it always gathers a lot of attention. If you got more than one kid with you, well, everybody's looking at you saying, wow, here's a family. And you can tell the boys from the girls. And man, this is like some relic from the past, the way it used to be. That's what they think. And they all love it. Nobody comes up and says, boy, this is disgusting, all these kids. No, they come up and say, wow, what a nice looking family. What pretty little girls. Look at these boys. That's the way it happens. Don't tell me. I don't know. I done been through this for years and years and years and experienced, and this is the way it is. It's a good testimony when you're happy with your family and you're happy with your children and you're smiling instead of grumbling and you're enjoying them instead of slapping at them and cussing them. It'll make the parents more godly people as they learn to appreciate and be thankful for the challenges God has entrusted to them that He didn't entrust others. You hear me? Listen to me here. Some children require a whole lot more than others to get them to turn out right. You better believe that. They don't come one size fits all. They don't come like broom handles turned out. Like they all come out of the same mold. No, every one of them's cut from a different piece of material. When it comes to their character, when it comes to their stubbornness, when it comes to their tenderness, when it comes to their intelligence, when it comes to their common sense and their temper, they're all different. And I guarantee you, you're not going to have a family of all little dolls and darlings. I mean, you're going to get a variety pack just like everybody else gets. Yes. Oh, that is so true. Yeah. And God does that. Remember, just think about that. God does that. He don't give us all. I know some people that just brag about their kids and they're all serving God and they're all in independent Baptist church and they're all doing this and all. No, they ain't. He's just, he's believing stuff that ain't true. And all of his kids wasn't angels, and they wasn't all the same temperament either now. I mean, you can try to make people believe that, but I know better now. And I hope they are. I mean, they seem to be a good bunch of kids. I ain't saying you got a bunch of devils. I'm just saying that we need to be truthful and honest about all this. I've had six kids, and every one of them's different. Not all of them. Some of them were easy to raise. Some of them were impossible. Impossible. Yeah. Some of them were very difficult, but possible. Elizabeth. How you like it when the preacher just points you out in the crowd? But it makes the parents more godly people. If God's involved in this at all, if you're looking to God at all, it makes you closer to God. It makes you more need God more because of the challenge that He's given you with these different kids. You can't just use the same methods and everything on all of them. You got to be, you can't be so devoted to your convictions that you just try to put the same hammer on all of them. You can't do that. Now, I'm telling you, that ain't going to work for you. You got to follow God's guidelines. And there are some things that are steady and consistent about child rearing and everything, but you got to deal with the different personalities, the different dispositions and everything that they come with. They do come with that. You're not born with sins, but you're born with a disposition. Now you are. I've done seen that. There's personality. I can remember all of our children and I've seen it. Now that they've grown up, I remember when they were little bitty babies. I can see their personality now. I can see where it was then. Now I look at children and I can see kind of what they're going to be when they're very little. I can kind of look ahead and see how this is going to develop. Of course, there's a lot of variables sometimes, you know, but there's that basic thing in us. It's in some of these people that write, say they call it individuality, and it is. It's there, but it's a challenge and God gives it to us and it helps the parents. It helps them. When children realize that they're arrows. All right, when parents are truly happy about all the children God's given them, it's going to affect everything. Some children require a lot more. Some children are just much more of a challenge to deal with than others. And so parents should be happy for all the children God's given them. And it'll be one of the keys in seeing them grow up and turn out right. You can't say, this one's a devil. Ain't no hope. I mean, if you tell them that, No. You got a difficult child. You better, you know, you can't leave off the discipline, but you better add a little more love in there. Yes, you better. Better listen to me. It's one of them things I wish somebody told me. Yeah, they're difficult. You better love them. Love covereth a multitude. When the children know that their parents are truly happy about all the children that God's given them. Now, I'm saying when the children realize that the parents are happy about all these children God gave them. I mean, they don't have any doubt that mom and dad really love us and they're happy about us. They don't think that maybe mom and dad wish we'd never been born. They're never told they were an accident. Don't tell them they're an accident. They were an accident. Mercy. What's the matter, people? Tell their children, well, you were an accident. Or if they overhear them telling somebody else, well, we planned on this and this, but that one was an accident. Can you imagine what that puts in the child's mind? Think. When the children need to realize, mom, dad, happy. Happy is the man that had his quiver full of them. The children need to know that. They need to be able to look at the home and say, and feel and know, Mom, Dad's happy with the way things turned out here. They're glad for every one of us. It's so important that the children know that they're wanted and loved. If they ever suspect or calculate or conclude in their minds that their parents would be happier without them, they'll most likely end up shipwrecked in their life down the road. Don't ever make them, no matter how bad they are, no matter how stupid they act, no matter what foolish things they do, don't ever Make them think. Don't ever give them room to think that you don't want them or you don't love them. That is so, so important. I mean, even when they're little, don't let them think that. They got to be punished and they've got to be scolded and they've got to be trained. But don't ever leave room for them to think that you are disgusted and wish they wasn't here. And that's what they'll think. If you don't cover that base. This is a major part of what's wrong with the children growing up now in our world. Do y'all realize that? Most children do not feel wanted. I think a couple of weeks ago I read about a mother. It was in Missouri. Where was it? I can't remember where it was, but it was in Missouri. But four of her children burned up in a house. 1 o'clock in the morning, she's out with her boyfriend. I think the children were 3, 5, 8, and 14 years old. They're at home by themselves. Mama's out on a date. Yeah. What do you think? You think they felt wanted? Think they felt like they were a gift or a burden? Where's daddy? Oh, well, that's a big question for nowadays, ain't it? Yeah. Terrible situation that we're in now, living like animals. And the children are the ones that suffer and pay for, see? I studied another thing the other day, and it was a verse in the Old Testament in where the Israel was in apostasy and God was about to judge and the accusation. What I was looking for was the connection between whoredom and the children being sacrificed to the idols. Oh, it's clear as a bell. God held the women accountable for their whoredom and for the innocent blood they shed. In the same verses. Look it up. They'd go out whoring around and get pregnant and they'd burn their baby on the altar of Molech. So they could get out and do it some more. And that relieved them of the inhibition about it. Don't worry about the baby. I mean, we can take care of that. Now we got abortion and pills and gadgets and everything to get rid of them. You know, same deal. Children need to know they're wanted. How would you feel if you knew, really, that when your mama found out she was expecting you, she was totally distraught and depressed about it, that she didn't want you? How would you feel? Would you feel different than if you knew that it thrilled them to death and they were happy and excited because you're going to have a baby and everything was right and it was a gift from God? Make a big difference, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. Changes the way you behave in your life, too. I'm saying so much, most of you not getting what I'm saying. But I hope you'll remember these things. If you want happy children, make sure that they know that you're always glad to see them and glad to spend time with them. Simple little thing. Glad to see them. Glad to see them. We say hi and we say bye. I vote we say bye bye. I don't know why we don't say hi when we meet one another, but it's always glad. Have you ever noticed? I mean, like, I'll use Dorothy a lot, but I mean, she's always thrilled to death to come to Papa's house, Papa Momo's house. She's always thrilled when anybody comes that she knows. If anybody shows up that she knows, it's yay! She's happy to see them. Children are like that. It's only after they grow up and start imitating older people that they get this deaf and dumb spirit, and they don't want to talk to nobody, and they ignore you when you show up and won't even say hi or anything. Yeah. Act like you're happy to see them when you see them. From the time they're little. I'm always happy to see her. Maybe that's why she's always happy. Yeah. It's little things. If you want happy children, make sure they know you're happy to see them. That you're glad to be with them. That you're not trying to get away from them. That you're not trying to push them aside and get them out of your sight and out of your hair. It's hard to do. Somebody would say, I don't know if you've ever raised children out. Oh, yes, I have. I'm telling you, wisdom after the fact, which is a lot better than wisdom that comes before the fact. Believe me. Most people who get old and are left alone by their children didn't have time for them when they were young. You see these people sitting in nursing homes and nobody will ever come and see them. I'm telling you, that's mostly the reason. They pushed their children aside and didn't have time and were too busy and too occupied and too interested in their own pleasure and stuff. I'm telling you, that is the truth. We knew a missionary one time, and he was a lot older than us, but they had went to the mission field and they sent their children away to a boarding school while they went to the mission field for years. And I thought back then, I thought, what in the world? How could you do that? I would never do that. God gives you children to be with you, not with somebody else. Well, let me hurry here. They shall not be ashamed. Neither parents or children, because there's some important things I want to say here. Got 10 minutes left here. We all know that we've done things that have made our parents ashamed. All right? You got me? They shall not be ashamed. Parents not be ashamed. Children not be ashamed. You've got to understand what he's saying here, because it's an absolute fact that we know that we've done things that made our parents ashamed of us. Anybody in here can say, I've never done anything that my parents were ashamed of. No. Not even Esther. She threw up in the cafeteria right in this camp meeting where everybody's all in right in this closed place like this. Blood! Right up. I mean, mercy me. Seth threw up. Church. I mean, how many times? We had a nickname for Seth when we were in Mexico. We called him La Vergüenza, which means the shame and disgrace, because, well, he was a good kid, but he'd just do things once in a while. You'd just go, oh. Ain't nobody here can say I ain't never done nothing to make my parents ashamed of me. Ain't nobody. No, sir. And all of us who have children know that they've done things to make us ashamed of them too. So that's just part of what it is here. It's not speaking of day by day things that happen. It's speaking of the sum of who we are and the life that we've lived. When it comes down the road, you're not going to be ashamed. You hear me? Parents ain't going to be ashamed of their children when they turn out right. When they shoot the arrow and it hits the target, they're not ashamed. Parents are not ashamed, or children are not ashamed of their parents. When they get older, they're not ashamed. That's right. Even parents that didn't do the best job. Kids are gonna, I'll tell you how it ends up. Children, if God's involved in it at all, children are gonna realize parents did the best they could with what they had at the time they lived. And that's all any of us can ever do. I mean, we got to do what we can with what we've got where we are. And that's what we do. When we're young, the children of our youth, we don't have the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge and the experience. We don't have it. We're working blind. We're working with only what people give us and the example that's been set before us. That's all we got. And we make mistakes. And we don't do everything right. when it comes to raising our children. And it's a wonder under heaven that any of them turn out right at all. It is. It's a miracle of God and a mercy of God. But when it's all over, we're not going to be ashamed. You do your best at this thing. Parents and children, you need to realize your parents got a responsibility that you don't understand and you've never shouldered yet. And one day there'll be a little 15-year-old boy, 18-year-old boy, standing looking you in the face. And then, in your heart and mind, you're going to understand then. And you're going to remember then. And you're going to understand why your dad said this, why your dad did this, why mom, why. You're going to understand why then. Sadly, probably won't until then. It's like I've preached to you when we were talking about other things. You know about youth? You are in your youth until your children enter their youth. You're really not an adult. I mean, the world calls you an adult. But the way the Bible separates things out, you're in your youth while you're raising your children. And it's only you come into another part of life completely. You come into another realization of things when your children enter their youth. When they get out of school and they start getting around and they got a job and they start doing all this, then you start realizing things that you never realized before. Now, I called it an adult. Everybody else calls it old. You're old people now. Well, if that's old age, it lasts a long time. It's looking to the future when the crop comes in. Good parents will not be ashamed of who their children are, and children of good parents will not be ashamed of their good, godly parents who raised them. None of us get through life without doing some stupid things. And none of us raise children without seeing them do some stupid things. Anybody that claims that their children are all perfect and never done anything is just, they're either lying or they're ignorant and they don't know everything that everybody else does. We don't get through life without doing stupid things. We just do. All of us do. Parents do them. Children do them. But love covereth a multitude of sins, and godly people forgive one another. You hear me? It's the way it is. So when love and God are the guides in the home where children grow up, it'll end in happiness and gratitude, not shame and disgrace. They'll not be ashamed. You're going to be glad you lived and did what God said. You're going to be glad that you followed the counsel of God, that you believed and lived your life according to the way God said it was to be lived. You're going to be glad at the end. You're not going to be ashamed. All right, now real quick here, let me hit this. Both parents and the children will speak with the enemies in the gate. Now we can safely read these words either way. When the children are young, it's the parents who speak with the enemies in the gates. You listening to me? They're there to stop the enemies from entering and harming or influencing their children. You better be guarding the gate, parents, while they're young. You're the one. You're the one that speaks with the enemies at the gate, not the children. You're the one that says no to the TV, to the movies, to the programs, to the books, to the friends, to the activities, to the associations, to the people, no matter what, by what means or ways they would try to get to your children to say something, to tell them, to teach them, to show them, to influence them, to draw them. You're the one that says no. You're stopping right here. You're not coming in my house through the TV, through the music, through anything. No. Now, the enemies of your children, get that. It's the parents. They'll speak with the enemies at the gate. When the children are young, it's the parents They're there to stop the enemies from entering in and harming or influencing their children. They guard the gate closely, and good parents do it as a team, not arguing and fighting with one another about who gets through the gate or not. Ah! Mom and dad better be unified in front of the children. You got any disagreements, you better take them somewhere else and do not air them in front of the children. Wife, if your husband says to the children no, if he says to them yes, you better keep your silence until you're alone with him, and then you tell him. And the best thing to do is talk about this beforehand so you're on the same page before it comes up. But you can't show that you're opposed to one another. The whole thing's going to fall. Ain't going to work. Kids know. And they pick up on when mama will back them against daddy. Or that when daddy will back them against mama. They know, boy, they're keen about that. And they need to know that mom and dad's going to stand together. And ain't no use going asking mom if dad said no. And ain't no use asking dad if mom said no. I mean, everything's going to rise and fall on that right there. That's a killer right there. That's a killer of the whole thing. Now, when the children grow up and the parents are old, it's the children who speak with the enemies at the gate. One way or another, it's the children who guard the gate to keep their parents from harm. But that's not all of it that's here. I want you to think about something. During their lives, look at your children and realize that during their lives, how many times they're going to have to face the enemy at the gate of their life for themselves. And then later for their children. Think of all the things that they're going to be faced with while you're not there to help them or to tell them what to do. We're living in Sodom. Think of the pornography. Think of the fornication, the drugs, the humanism and the evolution and all the other worldly philosophies that are out there. And that's just barely even scratching the surface. I mean, there's all these kook theories and ideas, and the whole world's went absolutely nuts, and they're going to be confronted with it. They're going to speak with the enemy at the gate. Your children are going to speak with the enemy at the gate. The enemy's going to come talking to them. The enemy's going to come knocking at the gate. They're going to do the talking, not you. You ever think about that? People think their children are always going to be under their control. They're always going to be under their influence. Nope, there's a time coming when they're going to be the one speaking to the enemy at the gate. And you ain't around. Have you told them what to say? Have you prepared them for that moment? Have you prepared them for that enemy? Huh? Have you taught them? Have you explained to them? Have you shown them examples of what he does? And what following that advice and that temptation, where it leads? You need to do that. When they're growing up, listen to me, man. When they're growing up, show them examples. When you see somebody, and you don't even hardly have to go outside the church to do it. When somebody's veering off track, just point them out to your kids and say, now, see there? The enemy is talking to them, and they're going the wrong way. And when you take that road, I want you to be watching, because I want you to see what happens every time somebody takes that road. Make sure they see. Make sure they understand. And see it in real life, not just what you tell them. There it is right there. See? That's what happens. Train them. Your children will have to face the enemy without you. When these philosophies and these infidels and these carnal, sodomite people of this generation, when they're talking to your children, you're not going to be there. There's going to be a time when that'll happen. I saw there in the news, I think last night, where in California, parents are not allowed to remove their children from classes where they're going to be taught about homosexuality and sexual gender identity and all of that, they're not allowed to take their children out of those classes. Ha, ha. Well, that's the way I feel about it too. I mean, it will be a cold day where the booger man lives before they would keep my kids in a deal like that. If I had to leave the state, if I had to leave the country. But not everybody is that way. They say, oh, well, we're not allowed. Go on, kids. I take this thing seriously. I wish I could have known what I know now, 40 years ago. And you know, it's amazing to me. I look at all my kids and I can't believe that they've turned out like they have. With all of the things that have happened to us. If you would just halfway listen to me and do this. If you would halfway believe this. And if you would halfway live your life like this, what could happen? Ain't none of our kids should have turned out right at all. Amazing. What a merciful God. What just a little bit will do. What a little bit can accomplish with God. Amazing. All right, Satan's going to take his best shot at your little baby child, at your little girl, at your little boy. He's going to give it his best shot. They're going to face him one day by themselves. You shoot him as an arrow, and that's what they're going to run right into, the devil himself. What are they going to say? How are they going to handle it? How are they going to speak? He'll lie to them. And he'll tempt them with evil. And he'll send lying messengers who appear as friends to deceive them. All this is going to happen to your babies that God gave you. As a gift, as a heritage for you to leave to this world and eternity. You need to realize the facts of life about this deal. This is the way it works. You're raising them, and when they're little, you just enjoy them and you play with them and they're so fun and all of this, but you need to realize that little child is going to face the devil himself. And if you haven't prepared them and armed them, and trained them and showed them the difference between good and evil and what's right and wrong and lived an example before them, what in the world chance do they have? So from the very beginning of their life, we got to teach them who their enemies are and how to recognize them and what to anticipate from them. All right, now listen to me and I'm done. If we're faithful and diligent in this matter, they will be able to speak with the enemies in the gate, and not have to deal with them in their living room and in their bedroom and in their table, at their table. Because that's where they come to. You let them through the gate, and that's where you find you have to deal with them. So much at stake. So much opportunity. There's so much potential. We're living in a terrible time of history. We are. It's terrible. But it's when it's the darkest, the smallest light makes a difference. You know, there's this little saying, the darkest hour is just before dawn. The darkest time is just before dawn. And great revivals have happened in dark, dark times of this world. I mean, darkness is not going to rule. It's not going to last. Darkness is temporary. Light is eternal. And our children, you know, it's what I think about a lot. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, and they were an unbelieving, corrupt generation. But the children of those people went in and took the land. They had enough of their parents' miserable life, and they looked for something better. Parents ought to live in victory, and they ought to be happy. And they ought to be happy about their children. And these things are just very important. I mean, it's the Word of God. The outline of this message is right out of these three little verses in the Bible. Dealing with this subject straight on about our children. I hope it'll help you. Hope you'll remember some of these things. They're just key things. I didn't give you a lesson on how to... all these how-to, like these books and everything, you know, gives you these little plans and 1, 2, 3, 4, 9 points, and 9 this, and 10 that, and do this, and do that, and if you do this, and this, and this, and this, that ain't what I told you this morning. What'd I tell you? Make sure your children know that you think God gave them to you. Make sure they know that you want them and that you love them, no matter. Make sure that you teach them about who the enemy is and how to deal with him. And live it before them as an example. Deal with your enemies like you want them to deal with their enemies. Stand. I know that most churches on Sunday morning, it's not like this. That's why I said at the beginning, I'd rather be preaching this on a night service sometime, but it's good. It's what we need. What the Lord meant for this morning. So, all right, let's bow. We have a word of prayer. I'll tell you what, everybody ought to pray for the people who are raising children. Gary and Elizabeth's got little bitty ones. Seth's still got children. Esther and Dakota's fixing to have children. Mike and Amy's got children. They're almost grown, but they're under your care. You know, we ought to pray for one another. Pray for one another's children. Pray for one another's homes. They'd be happy places. Pray they'd be places where there's love. It ought to be just like heaven at home. It really should. It ought to be a place where everybody's glad to get back to. Go out in this world and you have to put up with all this junk from everybody and all the trouble and the hatred and the everything that's out there. Ought to be able to come home, and it ought to be a shelter from all of that. It ought to be a place where everybody's glad to see one another and be with one another and not trying to get away. It ought to be the best place on earth for every one of us. Home. You got to work to make it that way. And you got to believe God, and you got to know what God says, and you got to do what God says in order for it to be that way. You do. Now, you can have a happy home. You can have happy children. You can have a happy future to look forward to. You know, the kids have talked, we've talked some about it, you know, you can't fathom them leaving after you've had them all these years and they get married. Well, it's kind of there's a little bit of hurt to it, but I've tried to tell them there's a joy. If you're doing right, your children, if your children are doing right and they're heading in the right direction, there's a joy that comes with that for the parents that overrides their own melancholy for the children leaving. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's like mission accomplished. It's like victory. It's like a burden lifted. My son, my heart shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. That's the way it is. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please bless it now to our hearts and minds. Try to do the best I could to make this as clear as I can. Please, Lord, I pray the devil wouldn't steal it out of hearts. Pray the homes would be happy places in this church. I pray that everybody would do right by one another. Parents to children and children to the parents. Lord, help the children to honor their parents, their good parents who try to do right. And Lord, help the parents to love their children. and to encourage them and to direct them as an arrow to the target. Lord, help us. We need you. We need you in our homes. We need you in our churches. We need you, Lord, this morning to help us to remember these things and to put them to work in our practical everyday life. Lord, I love you. Thank you for being a good father to us. In Jesus' name, amen.